Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. Where we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
Episode 266, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. I am Chris Featherstone. As always, follow us at Crave Wrestling on Twitter, Facebook at Crave Wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, this is part two. I'm glad to bring in a friend of mine who's been on the show before, a former WWE star and one of the biggest in size and also in prestige, you could say, stars in Japan. He has definitely made a huge name for himself in Japan over the past few years, and he's back on the show. I'm so glad to introduce, ladies and gentlemen, for part two, the man himself, Lance Hoyt. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I think the last time we talked, you were on the show, was actually before you Chaos came back and took over right after Wrestle Kingdom. How was that going back to Japan?
Well, you know, it was great going back, but then unfortunately, you know, during that first tour, my back decided to just say nope and end up having to have surgery and all that stuff. So
yeah,
you know, the comeback to New Japan was cut short.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So before we'll get to the surgery, because you got something big coming up this weekend. But how was it? Like, who came up with the idea to bring Suzuki-Gun back and just run roughshod? I think it was the event right after Wrestle Kingdom, the day after Wrestle Kingdom, right?
Yep. The show after Wrestle Kingdom, they always do it at Cork and Hall. It's
right.
Kind of their Raw After type show.
Mm-hmm.
They've started that tradition about four or five years ago, something like that. It's always a real big show at Corking because, you know, you've already got all the people that have come into Tokyo for Wrestle Kingdom the day before.
Right.
It's still during the holidays because the New Year's is their biggest holiday of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really big show. It kind of sets the tone for the next set of storylines and everything that's going forward past Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah. So basically, was it in how long was it beforehand that you were actually expecting to come back that day? How long was it prepared before the return?
Well, you know, I mean, we our group Suzuki-Gun had been on loan to Pro Wrestling Yellow for about 2 years,
right?
So, you know, we'd been told that, you know, we were going to be coming back at some point, and so the end of 2016, we'd been kind of told, hey, this is it, things are going to happen, you know, we don't know exactly when you're going to come back, but we've got a plan. And then pretty soon, therefore, they told us, hey, you know, you're going to be doing the January 5th Cork and Hall show and doing your reintroduction back into New Japan. And it was kind of, you know, a secret thing. You know, we were told, you know, definitely don't put anything on social media when you guys come into Japan, like me and Smith, you know, just stay off the fact that you're even in Japan. They had us in a secret hotel and stuff like that.
Wow.
You know, tried to keep it a big surprise and didn't bring us to the show till after the show had already started. You know, so it was a cool moment, you know, getting to do all that and kind of be behind the scenes and nobody knowing what was going to happen. And then when we came back out, people were really excited. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people were certainly excited. It went all over the, of course, Japanese airwaves and media, of course,
yeah.
In the States as well. It was covered everywhere. The picture of Suzuki-gun just kind of towering over everyone and having that big return. It was awesome. Unfortunately, you had just ill-timed injury. Let the people know about what happened to your back.
You know, I've been battling a sciatic issue for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
With sciatic, you know, it comes and goes. It goes up and down, different severities of pain. But I've always worked through it. And unfortunately, I guess something turned it into a severe herniation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that first tour that we were back, there was two big shows. One was in Sapporo, Japan on February 5th. And the final one was going to be in Osaka, Japan on February 11th. Well, on February 5th, again, I didn't do anything specific where I'd remember, oh, man, this fall, oh, man, this maneuver, something happened where it hurt it. Just something must have done something to finally tweak it to that point. And
yeah.
Every day past February 5th, it just got worse and worse and worse and worse to the point where they took me off the tour, hoping I could make February 11th, and then I just couldn't. And by February 10th, I couldn't even stand up in my hotel room. I was basically crying in pain. It was so bad. And then on February 11th, while everybody else is wrestling and I've been, you know, completely and fully pulled off the tour, I was having surgery in Tokyo, which ultimately was a blessing. God took care of me tremendously because if it had happened here in the States, I'd have been in a bad situation. But over there with New Japan, the great doctors and the medical system that is in Japan, they took absolute complete care of me, and it was a blessing, like I said.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, and like you said, you've had this issue for a while now, and it's really interesting. Just so we really can't fathom it with our natural, you know, minds how God's timing is, you know, because you've already had the issue. It was just a matter of time of when it was going to flare up and just really aggravate you. And it's hard for us to fathom, like, oh, this huge pain, but at the same time, the timing of it was so godly, you know, compared to, like you said, if it would have happened in the States. So, I mean, that's really a positive way, you know, to take care of this. And, you know, you posted something on social media recently that, you know, you're definitely not proud to reach out for, you're not definitely not too proud to reach out for support. So you've got a big event coming up this weekend. Let the listeners know about it.
Yeah, you know, while I was in Japan, still recovering after the surgery, you know, I spent about a week in the hospital, another half a week or so in a hotel waiting to be cleared so I could actually come home finally. And then during that time period, a good friend of mine within the wrestling business, he's one of the top independent wrestlers in Texas. He goes under the name Andy Dalton, or Dirty Andy Dalton, let me say it correctly. He got with my mom and some family members and organized a benefit show for me that's going to be happening this Saturday in Hearn, Texas, at the Hearn High School Gymnasium. Like I said, I had no clue it was happening. I actually had gotten back home, and he'd mentioned that he was going to have this big announcement, and then I started giving grief about what the big announcement was. He wouldn't tell me what it was, and he always tells me, you know, all his little inside gossip, whatever it is with himself and other things. He just wouldn't do it until he announced it on his social media what was going on. Like I said, it was really cool, you know, very, very humbling for the idea that him and my family and, the wrestlers that are going to be there that are donating their time. And I've had tremendous amounts of support. You know, I can't mention any names because I don't want to break the illusion of professional wrestling, but I had a large amount of the Gaijin and or the foreigners in New Japan Pro Wrestling that donated a good amount of money to me, which was an amazing, again, humbling thing because, you know, these are all guys that I know and I'm acquainted with, and some of them I'm better friends with, and had no knowing that these guys were going to step up and do what they did. And all, there's been so many people. I mean, I can't even explain how many people have stepped up and shown love and support and different ways. So, yeah, this Saturday, Hearn, Texas, Hearn High School Gymnasium, it's called Country Strong 2, and it's a benefit. You know, for me, like I said, I hope people show up for the people who organize this more so than myself.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, even in all the pain, even through the surgery, Lance Hoyt still stays in kayfabe and can still people name. How generous can you be, Lance, huh? Still staying in kayfabe. So that's a true heart of a pro wrestler right there. Much respect to that. Ladies and gentlemen, so last question to you, Lance. With your back surgery, with your recovery, with the benefit concert, I know you still got some time left in you, and you really want to continue to make a statement in Japan. What are some future goals when you get all healed up?
I'm sorry, say that again. Where do I go when I get healed up?
Some future goals when you get all healed up.
Oh, my future goals. Well, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm working extremely hard to get myself back in the position to get back in the ring. I was given a 5 to 6 month recovery timetable from the doctors there. But it's definitely with where the injury was and the possibility of recurring and things like that, you know, I'm going to have to be 100% sure that I can get back in the ring when that time comes. You know, I'm hoping that's around July. There's no guarantee to that. But in the meantime, I've actually been doing commentary. There's a great show that's been pushing pay-per-views in Austin, Texas called Wrestle Circus that they've let me keep the commentary, their commentary, which I just did one Sunday night. I did one on Fight TV for another company out here out of Texas called NAWA. And then I did the commentary, which will be on a DVD for another company out of Dallas called VIP Wrestling. So that's actually something that I've gotten into recently, and I've actually really enjoyed it. And people are seeming to say that I'm okay at it. You know, it's one of those things that if that truly became a possibility, especially to make a living at, I wouldn't be opposed to it, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, Wrestle Circus is starting to really get some steam. They had the Midnight After Mania show, right?
Yeah, they did, and worked with Pro Wrestling Revolver, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I interviewed John Morrison that week to promote that event, and he got a crazy bump last weekend, right, against Brian Cage?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, yeah. It was the main event after a show that was just truly amazing from top to bottom. You know, and then you have John Morrison versus Death Machine, Brian Cage, and he went for basically like springboarded up to one rope, tried to jump over to the other rope to spring off to land on the cage who was on the floor. And on his second rope attempt that he went for, he just kind of overshot it, slipped a little bit, and took a pretty nasty stumble to the floor. Luckily, amazingly, he didn't get truly injured or hurt in any way. You know, I think his extreme parkour background is one of those things that helped him turn and contort his body in a way that protected him from truly getting very badly injured.
My goodness. Were you calling that match?
Yeah, it was me and Rich that used to be with NXT.
Yeah. Wow, yep. Rich Brennan, yeah. Wow, that's really, really interesting. So I guess that was like an initiation to you as far as just really calling on the fly with just crazy incidents like that.
Yeah, I mean, well, like I said, I got to do the Wrestle Circus South by Southwest show the month before.
Yeah.
So it wasn't my first time with Wrestle Circus, but, you know, with everything that goes on at Wrestle Circus and just wrestling in general, you never know when something is going to happen, whether it's good or bad, and that moment was a scary one. Luckily, it wasn't the end moment, and everybody continued on, and like I said, openly, he wasn't truly injured.
Yeah. Well, Lance, I mean, you know, listen, if there's a opportunity for you to do that, and you know, if you know, your health is the most important, and if it comes to show that you really can't get in the ring as much as you can, and you getting yourself into the commentaries thing, you know, hey, it looks like it's working already. And no matter what, we all know, all the listeners know, and especially I know, and you know more than anybody, that wrestling is still the way to go for you, no matter if you're inside the ring or out of it.
Yeah, that's you know, I'd like to stay around the business somehow. I think I've got a decent amount of knowledge over my 17 years, so I think I have a little bit to give back to the business.
Absolutely.
That was given to me, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Lance Hoyt, Country Strong 2 this weekend. And what city in Texas again?
Hearn, Texas.
Hearn, Texas. And who to contact for any details on that?
Andy Dalton, Dirty Andy Dalton on Twitter or Facebook, or they can hit me up. I've got some information on it as well, at Lance Hoyt or at Lance Hoyt on Facebook. It's my open and public Facebook. You know, I can give them any information. Plus, I'm posting about it right now all week long.
Fantastic. So for those in Texas in the or nearby, as far as where it's going to be, come support. Like you said, you know, it's a benefit for him. But, you know, Lance Hoyt is definitely one of those people, as you can see, he's still staying in kayfabe with his guys, you friends. Just a pro and a veteran in the business. And if I was definitely in Texas, I'd be there and show my support. But I definitely want to show my support with all the listeners and the followers of the Pancakes and Power Slam show for you to promote that event. And best wishes to you for, and I'm praying for you, man, for a speedy recovery. And God will definitely have his way with you, man.
I truly appreciate you having me on, and any help in any way is greatly appreciated by anybody.
Indeed, man. Enjoy your evening. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, man.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lance Hoyt. Second time he's been on there. He was here. He was on the show last year. I don't remember when he was on the show last year in 2016, but I can certainly find that out and figure it out. But yeah, it was definitely before the big return of Suzuki Goon to New Japan Pro Wrestling. And he was really, him and I are friends, and he was really excited about that too, as far as because he just concealed it. And he didn't tell, you know, anyone, as far as he just really concealed it, just wasn't supposed to. And as you heard on the, you know, when he was just here on the show, he concealed it, and it was great. It was all over the airwaves. He was on the show last October. So, yeah. And so, yeah, it was great, man. It was really, really, really interesting stuff to see him back. And he was definitely flooding his Instagram filled with pictures of him being in Japan. And it was great to see him back. But unfortunately, just an ill-timed back injury. And sadly, he's recovering from back surgery. I totally understand him. Issues as well. I had surgery on my back in 2013. Went to my doctor today because we're actually planning on surgery number two to go a little further in my back and remove some stuff. And so I understand. Just you know, I've been a personal trainer for 10 years, and I know just from an athletic standpoint, how much just the wear and tear can really get to you. So I understand. My prayers are with my boy Lance Hoyt. And again, please support if you live in Texas around the area, please go support for the benefits wrestling event for Hoyt. And he's got some special guests for you as well. Ladies and gentlemen, let's introduce the guest host for this evening. One of my favorites, man. This is my guy here. One of my favorite hosts, guest co-hosts on the Pancakes and Power Slam show. We have a bunch of fun each and every time. You know, it's one of those things that I've had many guest hosts from Bleacher Report, like this person is formerly from Forbes, Wrestling Inc., who I write for now, WrestleZone. Plenty of times, PW Torch, you name it. I've had a bunch of indie people on my show. I've had Impact Wrestling's Christina Von Erie as a guest co-host on my show. That was really fun. She was the first and only guest co-host that has been a female, that is a female. So that was very, very interesting. She did a fantastic job. Also killed it on Impact Wrestling last week. I've had, I don't know, three or four female interviews, but she was the first and only guest female co-host. So I've had some really, really fun co-hosts. Of course, my boy David Hero, a great guy. I've had him as a co-host, and I've had a lot of co-hosts that have been really, really fun. But this is one of my favorite ones to be on the show tonight. Without further ado, former writer of Bleacher Report, none other than Double T. I think that's what we coined him beforehand last time he was on the show. So Double T, Travis Taylor, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing great, man. So glad to be back. Happy to be here, man. Can't wait to talk some wrestling.
Absolutely, man. Without further ado, we got a lot to talk about. We got Payback. We got Raw. We got SmackDown. Jericho signed off on, from surprises on Payback, but he did on SmackDown what people expect him to do at Raw. But just another Jericho swerve on the way out, so we'll talk about that. Yeah. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the headlines. Here we go. So let's get into Billy Corgan purchasing NWA. Lance Hoyt, former NWA tag team champion. And I'll probably text him or something like that and ask him his thoughts on it. But it's a really, really interesting thing, you know, as well as things with, you know, with Resistance Pro, the indie show that he had before becoming president of Impact Wrestling. And of course, we all know that just the relationship between him and Dixie Carter just went sour very quickly. Reportedly, there were some discussions with Dixie, along with Big John, him from Tough Enough, and his time with WWE, and now he's been with TNA for a few years. There were some discussions behind the back of Billy Corgan, allegedly, reportedly. Mm-hmm. So that really, really soured their relationship, and it went legal. He was definitely not not shy to really uncover some things on Twitter. It just went real sour. But we can tell that he loves wrestling because he is investing in NWA. Now, NWA, of course, the prestige in NWA is absolutely incredible. Hall of Famers Harley Race and Ric Flair are two of the most notable NWA World Heavyweight Champions. It's one of those things that NWA hasn't been as popular as it was, you know, in the 80s, of course. They've been affiliated with, of course, they were affiliated with TNA until 2004, I believe. They were affiliated with Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, which Sean Rucker, or of course we know him as Eli Drake, came from. And of course Blue Demon Jr. with NWA Mexico, but they broke off from NWA Mexico a few years ago too. So of course, Wildside, Bill Barron's promotion. I talked to him a few times. He and I go back and forth with just messaging each other every now and then. Of course, NWA Wildside is, you know, where AJ Styles came from.
Yeah.
And they broke away in 2005. So I mean, in the 2000s, they still have affiliation with companies that either closed down or housed, you know, some people who are very popular now. But of course, they had an affiliation with New Japan. Defended the NWA World Heavyweight Championship throughout the past few years at Wrestle Kingdom. They still have some decent affiliations, but of course they're not as popular as they used to be. But with this Corgan acquisition, I think I think some names may go over. I mean, they really don't have, you know, because NWA was like world, like Crockett was like the NWA. Of course,
yeah.
They had other promotions in the 80s, but Crockett was the NWA promotion that we all know.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, there's not necessarily a specific NWA promotion that's very popular nowadays, but who knows? I mean, Corgan may bring that back and some names with it.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm really happy to hear about Billy Corgan purchasing the NWA. You know, I really enjoyed the direction that he was starting to take NWA, and I think, or not NWA, excuse me, TNA, geez Louise, and I think he could transform the NWA into something better than honestly, kind of like a forgotten promotion. I mean, people still use it as a springboard, but it's not, like you said, not the big name that it used to be. Corgan himself, he's not a huge name, but he's got enough mainstream recognition and credibility to bring a national eye back to the NWA. He's got the money to spend. He's got the eagerness to succeed. I mean, he loves wrestling, as we all know. I think he can bring a fresh air to the company and give it a new lease on life. I would love to see the NWA as a third promotion that could rival WWE, or maybe a second promotion. I don't really consider Impact too much of a rival right now. I'd love to see that change, though.
I agree with you. I really think that NWA can do some stuff. And he purchased the rights. He has the belt. He has the trademark. He has all of that. So obviously he's willing to. He's ready. You know.
Yeah.
Of course, people just don't spend money just aimlessly without I'm just going to buy NWA. Of course, there has to be to be a game plan with it. I'm sure that there's a game plan. I'm sure he thought it out, very thoroughly. And there's something that he's willing to do. And there's a lot of names out there that can really, like you said, make it a legitimate number two promotion. And I'm not, I've been very vocal about this. I'm not a CM Punk fan by any stretch, but I think he has enough name recognition to really turn some heads if we see someone like a CM Punk in NWA. And there's more, like someone like a Brett Maddox NWA as the GM or something crazy like that. That would be absolutely hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. There's plenty of guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And one thing about WCW back in the day is that, when you were in the WWE, it didn't really have an iron fist on the rest of the promotions, and it really didn't, WWE couldn't really strong arm people like they do now, because there was a legitimate promotion that people could defect to. And I think that's one of the biggest things with WWE right now, is that there's not a legitimate number two promotion that people can defect to. Impact even was that at a point in time, when people like Rhino and Christian and even when Kurt Angle was there when he defected, they were a legitimate, I'll say about probably about 12 years ago or so, they were a legitimate number two when people like, Christian and Rhino and Angle, when they defected, it meant something. And I think that's one of the missing elements in professional wrestling. When people defect to another promotion, it really meant something. You know, of course, when Luger, the first Nitro at Mall of America, when he's standing in the aisle, and it's stuff like that. Just the art of defecting to another promotion is really lost. And I think
Absolutely.
That Corgan has the bank account to make that happen. So WWE, beware.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love, hardcore wrestling fans like you and like me, we have that nostalgia for the NWA. I grew up watching it. I would love to see that back. I would watch it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, yeah. And they have the library. So,
oh yeah,
they can, you know what I mean? So they can make up really nice video packages, you know, that has that prestige, and you know, someone like a Harley Race can, you know, can appear just because, and or just have a really big backstage influence, you know, as a trainer.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much that really could come out of this NWA purchase, and I'm really excited about it. I think that, you know, NWA is really a good launch pad to help out with promotions, but with Corgan, you know, just with his wrestling knowledge, and of course with you know, his knowledge of what not to do after partnering with Impact, you know what I mean, and I really think that, you know, even the bad, you know, stages of his career as a wrestling executive the past few years, that went to a legal standpoint, I think that he's learned enough to know what to do and what not to do, and I think that I think that there's some people. I hope that there's some people that are influencing him that know the names out there that are eager, that have recognition, that are still out there. Someone like a John Morrison, you know, that would be would be a perfect, you know, front runner or a top star for an NWA right now. He's, you know, he is just killing it. He's killing it in QPW. I think El Patron just won that title, the KTAR Professional Wrestling. He still, you know, Lucha Underground champion, AAA Mega champion. You know, he's just killing it. You know, in the other promotions and in the indies. So I think that, you know, someone like a Morrison, man, he would be a fantastic, you know, just a front runner. El Patron, you know, he's a hothead, so I'm not too sure about him. Plus, he's with Impact, kind of. But still, though, you know, you have someone like a Cody Rhodes, you know, who we'll talk about, you know, just we'll talk about him here in a few. But he, you know, hasn't made a devoted stands with anyone right now. So someone like a Cody Rhodes, and just imagine, you know, someone like a Cody Rhodes, you know, just main eventing and being one of the frontmen of a newly branded NWA, especially from the pedigree of Dusty. You know, when you think of NWA, you think of Flair and Dusty. So that's
absolutely
a perfect fit.
It's a natural fit. He could just slide right in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So speaking of Cody Rhodes, so he had an interview with Sports Illustrated not too long ago. He said that he wanted to settle down with the company. You know, he was talking about attacking Christopher Daniels during the Supercard of Honor. I was actually there in Lakeland. Saw the match between him and Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal was actually on my show not too long before that to promote the show and the Texas Bull Rope match that he had with Cody. That was fantastic. And then later on in the show, when Christopher Daniels defeated Dalton Castle, Cody Rhodes came in and just really showed his future immediate goals of becoming ROH champion. He wasn't at the set of Impact tapings, and, you know, so, but he did send a tweet. He did shoot down any rumors of signing with ROH. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's talks, but he did shoot down that he has signed. I definitely, you know, he's got a lot of dates. He's got a lot of trip in May and June. He's actually to be in Japan. Bunch of indie dates coming up, but you know, for a year he's just really been he's been grinding. Yeah, he's everywhere. I mean, he was defending a title in the UK, the same show with Drew Galloway that he lost the title that he had, like an internet title or something like that. And there's so many indie shows that he, you know, he's a part of. You know, it's gonna be kind of hard to just kind of to kind of wean out of them. But I can definitely see Cody with ROH, you know, if there's a choice right now. But like I said, you know, with this NWA purchase, I think that Cody would make a really good fit if, you know, Corgan's really trying to get some names for NWA.
Absolutely. And, you know, the fact that Cody Rhodes, he shot down ROH and said he's not signed, it makes me think that maybe he's leaning that way already. Okay, but that said, Cody Rhodes has something going for him that, like, people in every sport crave, and that's that famous last name. He's got that lineage. He's going to be an attraction anywhere that he goes, you know, let alone that, you know, he's got a good look. He's a decent wrestler. He's doing great on the indie scene. I just think he needs, and it seems like he's craving just the right outlet to showcase his skills, someplace just to stay put. I think he's better off avoiding going back to WWE. He needs to be a big fish in a small pond. I think he'd just get lost in WWE again. He's got the talent where he could be the centerpiece of a company. And if it's not going to be a Ring of Honor, then why not a relaunched NWA? I'm hoping that happens.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm just really excited thinking about it. Just a relaunched NWA, just the first episode, just a bunch of names just pop up. You got Cody here. You got Morrison there. You got Punk there. You know what I mean? Just the first, you know, debut episode, just with all those names pop up. I mean, that would really make a statement just as far as a competition is concerned.
Oh, my God. That would put the WWE on notice. I hope that would just turn their eyes and be like, hey, we got to step it up.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Because if they don't, you have people that are like, I really don't need this job. I'll just go ahead and defect the NWA. what I mean? Like, just the very thought of it, like, oh, you don't want to give me the raise? Oh, it's okay. Corgan called me last week, so I think I'm going to go ahead and go. just think about all the, you know, the mid-carders right now who aren't really doing, you know, anything of notice. Of course, you have someone like Dolph Ziggler, who's going to have a match against Shinsuke Nakamura at Backlash. But at the same time, you know, Ziggler hasn't been relevant. He won't be relevant after this feud. He hasn't been relevant in years. And so someone like a Ziggler, you know, would benefit from having a number two promotion that's really there to really compete and to put, like you said, put the WWE on notice. Someone like a Ziggler would certainly benefit from it.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I loved about the late 90s and the Attitude Era, I loved when the guys would defect from one company to the other. When I started seeing people show up on WCW, oh, my God, it was so exciting and just unexpected.
Exactly.
And I still think something like that could work in today's wrestling, too. It just even though you know, Raw isn't taped anymore, I'd love to see Ziggler on Raw on Monday, and then Tuesday night he walks out on an NWA show.
Oh, man, yes. Just the who was it? Rude did that. He was on the same show on the same night one time. That was very. He was on Raw and Nitro like the same night, and then
brilliant.
Jarrett did it. He was on the Good Housekeeping match at the pay per view, and then popped up on Nitro the next night.
That was
really cool too. And then that was just, you know, just all the times that just, you know, the wrestlers would just really like would be on Nitro one day and the next day they'll be on Raw, and it's just, that just goes to show, like, before the no compete call, the 90-day no compete and all that, you know, it was just like, it was so cool. Like, when, like, of course, we said Luger, you know, he was, you know, one of the front runners to that. You know, that, I guess, that really goes to show the importance of, like, the no-compete calls, you know, nowadays. Because even with Angle, though, because Angle showed up, like, maybe, like, a week or two on TNA after, because he had, like, a match with RVD on ECW, because he was with ECW before, you know, his last run was with ECW, and he was feuding with, like, Orton and RVD at the time, and then He left ECW, WWE, and then like a week or two later, he showed up on Impact. So, yeah, it was really, really cool, you know, just that no compete, you know, that was gone. But now it's like you really can't do that because you have, like, the 90-day, you know what I mean? he's usually locked in with everybody's departure. 90-day no compete. You can do the indie stuff, but you can't, you know, appear on the TV. But
right.
You know, who knows, man? Maybe one of these days someone
– It'll happen,
Yeah, it'll happen, and no compete got kind of slipped through the cracks, and then someone pops up in NWA.
Yeah, maybe I still, one of those images that are burned in my brain is when Medusa showed up on Nitro with the WWE Women's Championship, dropped it in the trash. What an image was that?
Yes, it was. Yeah, I mean, of course, WWE always gets the last laughs because he pulled it out
She
got in the NWA when she went in the Hall of Fame. But it
was
still cool.
That was clever.
Yeah, it was. It was very clever. Very clever. You know, I'm being in the Hall of Fame, so I guess it makes sense for me to pull it out of the trash. But like you said, that was a very, very memorable moment. I think that moment would always overshoot the fact that she took it out the trash. I think a lot of people don't really care about that part, but when she threw it in there, that's still very, very memorable. So Vince McMahon calls John Cena the Babe Ruth for professional wrestling. I sent that tweet as far as his birthday was. McMahon celebrated his birthday by comparing him to. This is one thing that I have conceded. You know, he's for 15 years, he's been the guy, really 13, because he won his first world title in 2004, or actually 2005. He won the US title in 2004, world title in 2005. So the past dozen years, he's been the top guy. And so I have came to the conclusion that John Cena is definitely, one of the most memorable names, one of the most noticeable names in the past era, being up for the past 12 years. I still stand by the fact that the Cena era it kind of destroyed wrestling in a sense, as far as just people, you know, booing the faces and cheering the heels. I think ECW had a lot to do with that too, but I think that Cena, he kind of set the tone on the people turning their backs on the WWE manufactured names. See someone like a Roman Reigns, who I'm a Roman Reigns apologist. You know that from the times you've been on the show, but He is a WWE machined. He's a WWE manufactured machine, and that's what Cena was. And so he kind of set the tone for that, especially the Super Cena, and like around like 05, 06, 07, when he was just beating everybody for like a year straight. So I don't know, man. It's one of those things that Cena's a shoo-in Hall of Famer. He's been, he's had many good, WrestleMania matches. His match was with Shawn Michaels is a very underrated match. It was actually a very good match at Mania. He's had his fair share of good Mania matches, good Mania main events. But it's like, I don't know, it was something about the Cena era that just took away the art of a huge star. Because really, during Cena's time, I mean, you can kind of say Randy Orton, but Randy Orton to me is just a distinct number two during this era. So you got Cena, Orton, Triple H, but he's more of an attitude, this ruthless aggression. And so the stars that came this era has really been John Cena, and Randy Orton is a distinct number two, and I think Batista could have hanged with Cena and Brock Lesnar, and that's really it. I mean, as far as stars are concerned, so it's so and that's really tough, because you have like you had like Hulk Hogan, you know, during like the golden age, the 80s, the 90s. You know, uh-huh. Hulk Hogan was such a star in his own that he didn't need a lot other people that to come out of that era. But you still have people like Savage. You know, you still had people, of course, you know, his rivals, you know, Andre, you know, Taker was a really big, you know, person or was really instrumental. He started in 1990. You know, he was a name who came out of that era. Bret Hart was a name who came out of that era. So you had, you know, some really good names, a good handful of names that even came out of, you know, Hogan's era. But with Cena, though, I can't really think of many people that are, you know, full-time, consistent throughout the past 10 years. You know, perhaps you can say Edge, but there hasn't been really been a lot of, and even Edge, I think he started like 98. So he was a few years, he was like 4 or 5 years before Cena was. And so out of Cena's era, there's not many names that really came out of it.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I don't know where that the fault lies. I know you're saying Cena, but I think part of the issue, like we have, you know, people booing who's supposed to be, you know, big faces, you know, Reigns and Cena. We have this situation now in the WWE where there's two. I mean, you talked about this before. There's no more black and white. There's no more good guy, bad guy, really. There's too many, I hate to say tweeners, but, you know, there's like faces with heel tendencies and heels that are kind of, you know, facey. And I think that goes back to Steve Austin, who was a strong face with all these heel tendencies. And it's just maybe Cena has, you know, made it okay to boo the top guys, you know, because nothing's come of that. When it was a time when you started to get booed, you turned heel. But you know, Cena goes out there sometimes. At least, I mean, now he acknowledges it sometimes, acknowledges his boos. But for a while there, he just played dumb, like it wasn't happening, you know? They're going to what Vince McMahon said about calling him the Babe Ruth of wrestling. I think I can see his point. You know, Cena, like Ruth, he really carries himself really well outside the sport. He's the top of his game. He's got a larger-than-life persona. Mainstream recognition. He's got an air of dominance about him. But I think the comparison stops there. I don't see Cena, you know, or any wrestling figure obtaining a status of like Babe Ruth just because wrestling isn't considered on the same level as baseball. You know, I think a lot of mainstream America doesn't see pro wrestlers as real athletes. So I see Vince's point. I see your point about Cena making it okay to boo the good guy. Hopefully maybe, you know, I don't know if that's ever going to change. We're going to go back to the 80s straight good guys and bad guys. I'd love to see that, though.
I think
wrestling,
man,
definitely needs it.
I really would. I think if anyone's the Babe Ruth for wrestling, I think you make a great point as far as just a comparison between baseball and pro wrestling. Mm. But I think if anyone's the Babe Ruth of professional wrestling, I think that would be hands down Hulk Hogan. But, I mean, you know, just mainstream, as far as just the era of the past, you know, dozen years at least of, you know, of course, John Cena. But I'm just that guy. I'm just an advocate of the true baby face and heel, you know, dynamic.
Yeah.
And
well, it works.
I just don't like tweeners. I don't like heels against heels. A face versus face can be good if built right. You know, like Warrior Hogan at WrestleMania 6, of course.
Yeah.
Austin and Rock at 17. You know, Austin didn't turn until the end of the night. So that, you know, that was a face versus face. Of course, Cena and Michaels was a face versus face main event for WrestleMania. You know, it works with the proper build, but just that face and heel dynamic is just where it's at. I mean, you know, we're not really attached to the wrestling as much as we are to the characters. So hero versus villain, comic book character, that's what it's really all about. I participated in a Q&A during WrestleMania weekend. The kickoff to that was the Thursday in Orlando, and I was there. The WrestleCon kickoff. It was a Q&A with Sting, Flair, and JR. Matt Stryker emceed it, and I was able to ask a question. And I asked the question to all of them, to Sting, Flair, and JR. I asked them, what is their take of just the heel face dynamic, you know, as far as just how important that is to still have that dynamic. And, Flair, he answered, all of them had really, really good answers. He kind of passed it on to Sting and JR, and I just really soaked in as far as what they were saying. And you know, he basically was talking about how it's still important. It's evolved, but it's still important. And I just really love what Sting said. He said it's really what wrestling is all about. He said he really can't put his hands on just how it's become, because it was so easier for him to really play off a heel, back in the day, because that really helped him just really establish his character as a babyface. And I think it's, I think it's one of those things nowadays that characters, the reason why people aren't pushed, and you don't have names that kind of rise above just the crowd, is because the heel face dynamic is so muddled that that you really don't have the characters to rise up. You just have a bunch of spot fest matches, and people just we're not going to talk 5 years from now and be like, man, did you remember that match on February the 19th of 2000? We're not going to do that. We talk about characters. We talk about moments. We are going to talk about, the big suplex in my hometown. I was there live with Braun Strowman and Big Show. We're going to talk about moments and characters and things like that. The big suplex from the ropes and things like that. We're not going to talk about actual. I don't remember a second of other wrestling in that match other than that moment. I was there live. I was on the floor, a few rows from the ring, sitting there live, and I cannot recall a single second other than that. And that's what wrestling's all about. It's not, absolutely. I think it's just misconstrued now. People are just doing a bunch of bumps and spots and expecting people to memorize that. And we're not, we remember moments, we remember characters especially. And I think that just, what Sting was saying, it really helps, someone become a babyface to help them do that. And I think nowadays the heels aren't strong enough, and it's making the faces look whack and just weak. They're not as memorable, and they don't have the ability to rise above and become that notable name because the heel dynamic is so weak nowadays. Now you have really good heels like The Miz and Baron Corbin who actually legitimately get booed still. But nowadays, it's so cool to cheer the face. That's the reason why someone like an AJ Styles, he's one of the best in the world, hands down. But one of the reasons why he won't be that person that just kind of rises above as being that, like, one of the most notable names, or Kevin Owens or Seth Rollins, is because when they were supposed to be heels, they were getting cheered. And so it hurt them so much that they're getting cheered as heels, so that they turn them as faces, but they've already got cheered. And it's just that it's so confusing now that there's no – the gray area has become so huge, and it's become the kind of focal point of wrestling, that the lack of black and white – that's where the characters lie, the black and white, not in the gray area. And we're giving so much attention and way too much attention to the gray area.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, it all comes down, like you said, to characters and moments. Even, I mean, Kurt Angle talked about that in his Hall of Fame speech. But the younger guys said, you got to create moments. And, you know, he went out there and redid all his funniest bits with the cowboy hat and the sexy Kurt song.
Yeah, I was there too. I had a floor seat too at the Hall of Fame. I was there on the floor, and I enjoyed it too. And it was great, like you said, just like the moments. I mean, you're spot on with that.
And you remembered them, and I bet you were cracking up. I was cracking up watching it on the network.
Yes.
You know, I loved it so much. I showed it to my wife like a couple hours later. Like, you gotta watch this.
Yeah, it was great, and we all sang along with him, and it was. And again, we're talking about a moment. You know what I mean?
Moment.
And that's the entire the point exactly. We're talking about a moment from Kurt Angle and the very long Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah.
We're talking about a moment, the sexy Kurt song, the milk bath. You know what I mean? Just exactly what you're saying. That's what he said, just as far as creating those moments. Now, if it was just a run-of-the-mill Hall of Fame speech, we wouldn't remember it. You know what I mean? And it's just, that's how a lot of wrestling is. Just a run-of-the-mill, spot, flip, and that's it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, you're spot on as far as just, the, you know, that Kurt Angle reference.
Yeah, I agree. 100% agreement on this.
Yeah, absolutely. So Sean Waltman, he gets arrested in L.A. for for some drugs and meth. And he said, I mean, I tweeted, I put a string of tweets on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page. You know, he said he didn't relapse, but he had like over $700 and some meth drugs, you know, he couldn't pass customs and it was just bad news that he would, I mean, it's one of those things that, come on, Sean, you know, it's, you've had a very, very bad, you know, track record of doing stuff like this. And, you know, your record is just so, jaded, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, man, you can't keep rolling the dice, you know? And it just really seemed like he was getting himself together back again. And, you know, there was, you know, like a year or two ago, you know, there were, when he was in the media, it was him, you know, wanting to take his life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And almost dead, you know? And it's like, he finally gets himself back together. And I was at the Click Q&A on Saturday, I believe, it was WrestleMania weekend. It was Saturday, the Click Q&A, and he looked good. You know, he looks very level-headed. You know, he was answering a lot of the questions just with zeal and just really excited to be back in the business. You know, his show is catching steam. I've listened to a couple episodes. I checked the one out. Actually, wrote about one of the episodes. You know, I listened to the full one with him and Aaron Stevens or Damian Sandow.
Yeah.
Damian Sandow. And so, yeah, I mean, he's starting to get back in the groove. And, you know, something like this, man, just can just pull that rug up as quick as you can say hiccup, you know, and it's just, I really, really hope that this could really show him that he needs to just, you know, stop altogether.
Yeah. I mean, if he's convicted of all these charges, I was reading he could spend up to 4 years in jail. That's not a tiny bit. I know 4 years doesn't sound like much, but that's a life changing event right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Man. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, it makes me sad. It just makes
me think
sad
of all the money
he
could
this.
Make in 4 years.
Right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He's going to lose out on the money and just being in the business. And if he was getting back in the good graces of WWE, if he has a drug arrest, they're not going to touch him.
Exactly.
I don't think they're going to have anything to do with him anymore. And it makes me sad to see, you know, another wrestler who could potentially have their life destroyed by drug abuse. There's a part of me that wants to give him the benefit of the doubt. Reading what he posted on Twitter when he's talking about understanding people's reasons for doubt and how he expressed such confidence that he was going to be proven wrong, that the charges were going to be proven wrong. I want to believe him because he's so confident and adamant. But I don't know, there's that part of me that thinks, you know, no, he was trying to get away with something. He screwed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just makes me sad.
Man. I 100% agree with you. I'm the same way. I'm like, Sean, you know, just I'm really pulling for him because he's really doing, you know, it seemed like he was really doing his best to really get out of the rut that he was in that was nearly fatal. You know,
yeah.
And it's like he, you know, he's rebounded from that. And it's like, man, you know, you gotta let it go. You gotta give it up. And like I said, I was at the Click Q&A, and he was just really talking about how just there was so much in his career that, you know, he's not proud of. But, you know, now he's happy, and now, you know, now he's rebounding from it. And it's just like you said, I mean, you know, WWE does not want to affiliate themselves with, you know, someone who's actively abusing drugs and not even from an abuse standpoint, not even from a consumption standpoint, from a illegal, you know, standpoint, you know, when it comes to carrying it, you know, you don't have to go to jail for consumption. It's, you know, if you conceal the drugs and you distribute them, that's just as illegal as the consumption. So it's just drugs are bad, ladies and gentlemen. That's the bottom line from a physical standpoint and from a legal standpoint. Drugs are bad. So whether you consume them, whether you decide to distribute them, they're not. They're bad. So that's the moral of the story with that. Drugs are bad. Hashtag
well
drugs
said.
Are bad. Yeah, so another thing that's bad is the WWE's pay-per-view name for July. It was it's terrible. It was one of those things that when I heard about the news, it was like, okay, this has to be a joke, right? I mean, there's no way this has to be like a Southpaw Regional Wrestling, you know, just name joke. This can't be true. It said, I thought it was, see, here's the thing. I thought it was one of those like, beasts in the East. And then when Roadblock was just, it wasn't necessarily a pay-per-view, you know, the first one when Triple H defended the title against Dean Ambrose, it was like just a network special, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how Beast in the East was. And it had another one live from MSG. That was the one with Brock Lesnar and Big Show. And so I thought it was just like a network special. I was like, okay, this name is terrible, but if it's a network special, it will soften the blow for me. But not only is it not a network special, there were people in an office that unanimously agreed, what about Great Balls of Fire? Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's it right there. Let's replace Bad Blood. Some history behind the name. You brought it back just to replace it. And it's like, I don't understand who unanimously, you know, even if it was like an executive decision, that, you know, everything has to come by Vince anyway. So just, I mean, what was Vince McMahon thinking? Oh, this is great. Great Balls of Fire. He's going to puke. You know, and it's like, what in the world is going on with Vince and Candy McMahon to approve that? And then another element on top of that, they announced, you know, that this would be the first time Brock Lesnar's defending his title. What happened to the 30-day rule? This would be 3 months since Brock Lesnar would have won the title at WrestleMania. 3 months to defend the Universal for the World Championship of the Raw, which is called the Universal Championship, the number one top world title, 3 months before you defend it at a pay-per-view that's called Great Balls of Fire, that I surely hope that this is not an annual pay-per-view name.
I agree with you there. You know, some WWE writer sitting at home right now laughing in his chair that he got away with this title.
Right.
You know? You know,
it was like
a drunk bet
gone wrong.
What's the worst title we can give it to Vince and he'll approve?
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what it was. How about, hey, Vince, how about Great Balls of Fire? I like it.
He's probably like, suffering succotash.
Like, no,
like
we're just playing. We're just playing, Vince. No, I'm not playing. I like it.
Let's go with it.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I agree with you. Like, if it was on the network, if it was just going to be, you know, one of those house shows they air live, it would work. But it just doesn't work as the big, you know, Raw pay-per-view.
Yeah.
How can you take it seriously?
No.
I'm sorry. I hear that, and I'm like, really, that's a wrestling event?
Exactly.
You sure it's not a Jerry Lee Lewis concert? What's going on?
Exactly. Jerry Lee Lewis, exactly. Is that the theme song of it? I mean, they're going to buy the rights temporarily for the Jerry Lee Lewis song and play it. I am not looking forward to this at all. And the thing is, it seems like we're going to talk about the payback in Raw and SmackDown here in just a bit, but it just seems like, I mean, talk about face heel dynamic. Just for the hype, it looks like they'll do Braun and Brock, but it's like, although that match, just two behemoths and just with the push that Braun Strowman's getting, two heels together just really isn't. I mean, who are you going to cheer? I always fight with that. It's like, Brock Lesnar should not be a babyface at all. And Braun Strowman is the strongest and best looking babyface and the most pushed babyface. So I don't know, man. And I don't see Braun winning.
No.
You know, and it's like, I don't know. It's so confusing. This pay-per-view is going to be to me.
Yeah, I agree. I really like Braun Strowman now. I didn't, about a year ago, I didn't care for him that much, but they've done a great job building him up, and I don't see any way through Brock Lesnar, you know, a successful path for Braun Strowman. I don't think he's going to beat Brock Lesnar. Lesnar's not going to take a loss. They're not going to make him Universal Champion.
Right.
And I think losing clean, he already lost clean to Roman Reigns. I think another clean loss is just going to set him back. They've spent all their time building Braun Strowman up as this monster heel. I don't know how he would get through that.
Yeah.
I don't want to see like a big pay-per-view main, you know, event in a DQ. I hate that.
Right. Right.
I want a definitive finish.
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's get to payback. So, So Strowman looked really good at Payback. Mm-hmm. I knew that I predicted him to just destroy Roman Reigns, which he did. The clean pin, I was cool with to an extent. And this is my biggest critique with the clean pin from Braun Strowman in the way that he did it. Now I do understand they protected Reigns to an extent with the whole ambulance thing, still being taped up, still being weak, still gaining, you know, an advantage in a couple spots on Strowman.
Mm-hmm.
He one power slam, and you know, I had to take two power slams, and then going to the Raw talk right after, you know, he said, you know, Braun is running to him, I'm not through with you, and he dodged him, so. There were some subtle protective moments there, which I can understand, but I just detest the fact that, to me, this whole thing was perfect, but I think it was ill-timed, because you just had Roman Reigns, WrestleMania, do what no other full-time new rising star has ever done. You know, there were names throughout the past 20 years that were slated to potentially beat The Undertaker. You know, Roman Reigns is the first ever full-time up-and-coming, you know, growing, evolving wrestler to ever beat The Undertaker. And not only did he beat The Undertaker, he potentially ended his career. I mean, he made him strip down his gloves, his coat, and his hat and put it in the ring and have the best send-off in WrestleMania history. And weeks later, 4 weeks later, he gets destroyed by Braun Strowman. I think that was so poorly timed. They should have... I really think like Seth Rollins. I mean, Rollins and Joe was okay match, and I understand the whole thing after Triple H, but somebody. I mean, Finn Balor wasn't doing anything, you know, but being on Miz TV, there's enough babyface. I mean, him show would have been perfect, you know, to be on this, and it was. After suplex, Braun Strowman just got up. It wasn't a definitive win for one of them. So it would have been perfect to have it here, even if you want to put a gimmick match towards it, something. And I think that Braun Strowman beating the Big Show, to me, would have been a better time decision. To have all of that heat on Roman Reigns. And that night after Raw, I mean, I said this on the show, that's not really a good list because you had all the marks from different countries. That's that WrestleMania crowd. You have multiple countries and a bunch of marks. So the Raw after Mania is never a good litmus test of what to expect from a crowd because, of course, they cheer the heck out of Dolph Ziggler, but that's really as far as it went. You know, the Raw after Mania, when he cashed it in. So it's never a good gauge of you know, what to, you know, the decisions that you should make for, you know, the reset of the WWE calendar year, so to speak. But at the same time, Roman Reigns has been consistently booed, and that moment of people booing him so just harshly, and for him to say it's my yard now, drop the walk out, was absolutely gold. And you go from the next week having a backstage interview and right into the feud and getting just Reigns could have rolled this heat all the way to SummerSlam.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't make any sense to give him such a big, huge win over The Undertaker and then just have it stop at payback. And I know you were saying about that Raw after WrestleMania crowd not being a good litmus test, but I think the end of payback shows that there is some kind of a Reigns problem with the WWE. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had fans chanting, "Thank you, Strowman," after he beat him down.
And you deserve it.
Yeah, and you deserve it, yeah. It's mind-boggling how much it seems that people hate this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would I'd love to see Roman Reigns turn heel, because I think turn him heel, he's going to become a face again because everybody's going to start cheering that he's turned heel.
exactly.
You know, but maybe that's what he needs. Maybe that's the shot in the arm he needs, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Especially after defeating The Undertaker and retiring the guy. I mean,
which
you can't get any better
than
that.
Yeah, and I think that would have had a lot more weight had Undertaker not been beaten by Brock Lesnar a couple of years earlier. If the streak was still intact, it would have been a much bigger impact, and he would have gotten a heck of a lot more heat for that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think he got a ton of heat, but I think just with, you know, I'm the guy who wished the Undertaker streak never ended.
Yeah.
But if it's Taker's been looking for the guy to put over at the expense of a streak. And I think Roman Reigns is a perfect choice. Brock Lesnar was the worst choice.
Yeah.
He certainly didn't need the streak, to get over.
No.
With Roman Reigns, this was perfect for him. He's established himself. This was his third straight WrestleMania main event. And it's like he's already established himself as a top guy. He's the future of the WWE. I understand the concept. I understand the logic and the previous times, like when you had like a Wade Barrett or even a Bray Wyatt to an extent, those are good names, but still they weren't consistent enough to break the streak. So we see that, we even see that with Bray Wyatt. So it made perfect sense to say, there's no one that's consistent enough right now that if we break the streak, we're confident enough that they can use that as steam to continue their growth. Roman Reigns is the perfect example of someone who has been growing, is growing, his third straight WrestleMania main event, and he's still young in his career. And he still clearly has so much more left in him. He's a WWE guy. He's going to be there. He's the future. Give him the torch. Give him the baton. We see that. And he gets the reaction that backs it up, good or bad. He gets the reaction that backs it up. And so he's the perfect person to break if it would be broken. And I think him winning was a great idea, but it's just, you just killed the streak. I mean, you killed the Undertaker losing at WrestleMania at the expense of Braun Strowman, which, I love what they're doing with Strowman. I think that they're pushing him as a heel fantastically. But at the same time, I really wish that it would have been Show. Even they could have done like a retirement match with Show at Payback. I think that could have been a main event. The steam, the steam that they had with the suplex in my hometown on Raw, that was was strong enough to really make another match between Strowman and Show look good, because their past two matches on Raw looked very good. And so I think that if they would have put some type of stipulation, we don't need Show on Raw anymore. We don't need him in WWE no more. I think that it would have been a good send-off for Big Show if he would have said, I'm going to make sure that I'm gonna get my retribution. I'm going to dethrone, just the Braun Strowman and pick on someone your own size, and I'll be sure to be the guy who's, going to put you in your place. I'm willing to risk my career, And I think that would have been marketable enough to main event, and people would have been sold into it, just like they were with the people were skeptical the first time. The second time, they knew that it was going to be, if it was as good as the first time, it would have been good, because it was surprisingly good the first time. And then, just with the big spot, it would have been marketable.
Absolutely. 100% agree. It seems like there's sometimes a lack of long-term planning in the storylines.
Absolutely, unfortunately, yeah. So what are your thoughts on Raw and SmackDown?
Also,
Horrors match. What do you think about that?
Oh, you know what? I actually enjoyed the House of Horrors match. There are a lot of people talking online saying they didn't like it. They thought it was cheesy and bad. But you know what? I enjoyed it. It was over the top, and it was just crazy. But that's exactly what wrestling's supposed to be. It's supposed to be over the top and fun. It was something different, and different's good. It was refreshing. I enjoyed it, and I would love to see more stuff like that. I liked it back when Mankind and Rock did the empty arena match. It was kind of very similar with the different camera angles. I enjoyed that. I love what the Hardys did with the, you know, the final deletion. And I know this is kind of trying to do the similar vein, but I enjoy it. It's something different. I enjoyed watching it. I didn't think Bray Wyatt was going to win. I thought Randy was going to pull out the win. So I'm happy that Bray Wyatt got a win. I feel like there's a lot of repair that needs to be done to Bray Wyatt's character. I think he could still be a force in the WWE. And I'm hoping this is the first steps. You know, he had the WWE Championship, and let's keep it going now that he's on Raw. Let's have him win more. Too many losses, he's not really a threat. They're like, oh, you're challenging me? Okay, I'll beat you anyway.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
real quick, for the sake of time, this is my thought on the House of Horrors match. That was that's as simple as it can get for me. I thought it was absolutely terrible. It was dark. But it's set in California at that time, you know, and it's like there's so many inconsistencies with that match. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, we're supposed to get the illusion that it was in California, but it wasn't. It was actually, from what I've heard, it was actually taped in like a $37,000 house in Missouri. So earlier in the week. So, it just Bray Wyatt, please stick to the black shirts. he's made terrible with that white, you know, tank top on. It was terrible to me. And just, I'm not sold on Randy Orton. I haven't been sold on Randy Orton for years. It's always a crapshoot. Like it's either, you know, we feel that Randy Orton, a lot of times, I'll speak personally, it really seems like Randy Orton is just clocking in and clocking out. A lot of his
matches.
And I feel that, you know what I mean? Like there's just no passion, and it's just, that's the reason why I can't buy into a Norton match. And you know, just the kooky crap. I mean, I love the final deletion match. I even like the compound match between the New Day and the Wyatt family. I like that. Theatrical matches, but just the House of Horrors just really didn't do it for me. But
only broke up there. Are you still there?
Yeah, the thoughts on Raw and SmackDown.
All right, Raw and SmackDown. Overall, I actually enjoyed both shows. I still think SmackDown is the better product right now. If you're talking about Raw, I love the new moves from Dana Brooke. I'm really starting to become a fan of hers, and I love that the women are given more time for matches. I enjoy the cruiserweights. Jack Gallagher, I think, is one of my favorite wrestlers right now. I laugh every time I see him wrestle. I keep hoping for the day that the Hardys get broken, and I think if the lawsuit and the court cases with Anthem get solved, then this current feud with Sheamus and Cesaro could be the point to bring it in, you know, beat the Hardys down and break them in, so to speak. I'm still scratching my head over The Miz getting the win in the main event for the number one contendership to the Intercontinental title. I'm sure it has something to do with Total Divas, honestly. I would have preferred to have seen Balor take it and use it as a springboard to the Universal title, and maybe he still will, since, you know, they've teased something between the two. Maybe that's still the way they're going. SmackDown, I really enjoyed. Like we mentioned earlier, I had a feeling Jericho was going to drop the title back to Owens. So it makes me excited. I'm much more excited to see Owens and Styles wrestle than Owens and Jericho. So overall, I enjoyed both the shows, I got to say.
Yeah, I think Raw was okay. The Triple Threat main event was spectacular. That match was absolutely phenomenal. Match of the year candidate for me. That was just, it had a big fight feel to it. It was absolutely amazing. I'm okay just with the development of just, you know, Joe and Bray, you know, interfering, because that's three feuds, Bray and Finn, you know, they kind of teased that, you know, doing the shakeup. I'm not a big fan of The Miz winning because I'm just tired of The Miz and Ambrose. It's the same match, different brand, you know. So, so I actually agree with you as far as having like a Finn Balor, you know, Ambrose match. But then, you know, what does that do with Bray? So I understand that element too.
Yeah.
I get it. You know, so. And of course, you know, with SmackDown, solid show,
yeah.
You know, it didn't make any sense for me for Becky Lynch to, for them to kind of wait a few weeks for her to make that decision. And then she makes the decision, to go with the baby faces and she still gets beat up. So that was kind of stupid.
Yeah, so, what's the wait?
Yeah, it just didn't make sense. I mean, you're spending weeks to, you know, build this up just for her to get beat up. So that was stupid. Sin Cara he just looks bigger every week. I don't know what it is. Sin Cara is huge, man. I mean, he's supposed to be a cruiserweight, but the guy is absolutely huge. Yeah. So I mean, and what they're doing with Charlotte, I'm cautiously optimistic. We'll see. You know, we haven't seen Charlotte as a baby face in about a year and a half, and so she's such a good heel. I kind of wish they just kind of give Naomi that spot. You know what I mean? Because she's so good. Naomi's my clear favorite. I think she's really, really done a fantastic job revamping her career. So, but you know, we'll see what happens. It looks like they'll do. Match at Backlash, so we'll see where that goes. Of course, I was expecting Owens to send off Jericho. It's just a different day that it happened from what we expected. But Jericho's gone. He's unfortunately done and gone. So, real quick, only got a couple minutes left. Flavor of the week. What do you think the five worst WWE pay per view names?
All right. Well, you know, I could have made a list of 20 on here, honestly. But let's go with number five. I'm going to say In Your House. Cause when they first started, the idea of more pay-per-views was cool, but I found, like, the repetitive nature of the multiple shows per year with, this, you know, the same to similar name, In Your House 1, In Your House 2, it got boring to me. Number four, I'm going to say WrestleMania X7. I get that they were trying to be hip and edgy, but moving away from full Roman numerals to some kind of like weird half Roman knot format. It made the show to me sound dumb, but thank goodness the show itself was a classic because that was a great WrestleMania. Number three, ECW One Night Stand. Just for the simple fact that they did it 2 years in a row and then two more times as WWE One Night Stand, completely negating the very title and idea of the show.
Yeah.
number five, The Bash. Changing the name of the Great American Bash to just The Bash, I thought it was an insult to the tradition of the event dating back to 1985.
Yeah.
And then number one has to be Great Balls of Fire. Because when WWE's name and pay-per-views after Jerry Lee Lewis songs, you know they're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, real quick, we've got about 90 seconds. So mine is number five. I've got In Your House, No Way Out of Texas. I like the whole shortened to No Way Out, but just the No Way Out of Texas was just a little bit too specific for me. Four was In Your House. Beware of Dog. That sounds weird. I know it was Beware of Dog. Even if it was not called In Your House, that would be even weirder. Just, hey, it's the preview called Beware of Dog. And then number two to me was December to Dismember. That pay-per-view backed up how bad the name was. It was one of the worst ever. Great Balls of Fire. Just that. It's just absolutely terrible. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got like 30 seconds. Thank you for Lance Hoyt to be on the show, give an update on his back injury. Thank you so much once again, Travis. We've got to get you back on the blast to be on the show.
Yeah, I can't wait to be back. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Let people know where they can find you real quick.
Real quick, follow me on Twitter, at Ryder Taylor. I got a lot of projects going on I can't talk about yet, but follow me there. I'll keep you up to date.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being a part of the show, episode 266. We are having fun here on the Pancakes of Power Show. We will continue to God bless. Enjoy your week of wrestling and have a good week. Bye-bye.